give him a round of applause. Thank you for his faithfulness, for the fact that we can come, that we can pray, that we can say, God, when we need you, you see us, you hear us. How good it is to do so. Amen and amen. All right, church, if you have a Bible with you, I want to invite you at this time to go ahead, take it out, open it up. We're going to be in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. We're kicking off Advent today. Advent, for those of you who do not know, is actually technically the start of the Christian year on the Christian calendar. It's that season, 4 weeks leading up to Christmas, when we remember the waiting that Israel did 2,000 years ago. There was a 400-year period of waiting when they did not have a word from the Lord, and Jesus was the answer to that 400 years of waiting. And so we remember that, but we also remember that in our waiting, God comes to us. Now, as you're headed over to Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22, I want to just tell you about a couple of things. First of all, church, thank you for your continued generosity. If you're in this room and you have been affected personally by the pandemic from a financial perspective, maybe you've lost your job or your income has been reduced, people in this church continue to give so that we can come alongside those in our community who are in need. And we have been helping folks. It has been our pleasure to be able to do so. The only way we can do it, though, is if you let us know that you need help. So if you're in this room or if you're watching online and you need financial assistance, would you do us a favor, reach out to us, let us know that you need that assistance. You can find the link on the website. Even if you've already been helped once before, please let us know. We want to be there to help all of our families make it through this season. Don't let whatever pride or embarrassment might be in your heart get in the way. This is church being family. We want to help you in this season, so please let us know that. Also, church, your giving continues to do great ministry. One of the things that's coming up actually this Saturday that your generosity is helping make possible is our Christmas shop. Christmas shop is an opportunity for Alice families in our area to have the opportunity to come and to purchase Christmas gifts for their kids at a price that they can afford. So ALICE is an acronym that stands for Asset Limited, Income Constrained, Yet Employed. So these are folks who have jobs, but because of the nature of their employment, they're not able to really afford the standard of living that is above the poverty line. And so what we want to do is we want to come alongside those ALICE families. We still need volunteers to help out with the Christmas shop, people to stock shelves, to be personal shoppers. It'd be a great chance for you to serve. But your giving is helping make this possible. Thank you for your generosity as we do this. And that's next Saturday from 8 to noon, by the way. One more thing, don't want to be remiss in letting you know this. As we start Advent, we start preparation for our Christmas Eve services. This year, Christmas Eve is going to look a little bit different, so I want to go ahead and tell you about that. We're going to do Christmas Eve services, the 23rd and the 24th, on the 23rd at 7 p.m., on the 24th at 4 and 6. We're going to use candles this year, but they're going to be a little different. They're going to be battery powered, so we're not accidentally blowing COVID all over each other whenever we blow those out. But also, we are going to have an opportunity. For those of you who are watching online who may not feel comfortable coming and attending a service indoors, at both the 7 p.m. on the 23rd and the 6 p.m. on the 24th, we're going to stream that service out onto the lawn so that you can be part of a Christmas Eve service. Bring your blankets, lawn chairs, whatever, dress appropriately, and you can be part of a group worship there. So RSVPs will open up for those services on December 1st, and if we fill those up, then we will gladly add more services. We think it's really important this time of year for us to have the opportunity to be together as we worship our Jesus and the coming of that babe in a manger. So we'll obviously be talking more about that, but I wanted to remind you and let you know. You can get more details, hnw.org/Christmas. All right, I'm going to jump in now to our text, Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. Let me pray and we will begin. Father, today we thank you for the gift of having the opportunity to open your word. Lord, I know right now that many other pastors across this city are opening your word right now. So God, I pray for them. Lord, I pray for Pastor Steve at Real Life. Father, I pray for Pastor Brandon at the other Real Life. Father, I pray for Pastor Ken at Faith Bridge. Lord, we lift up our brother, Pastor David at Northside. Father, I think of Pastor Icky over at BCF. Lord, I think of Pastor Blake at Crossover. Father, so many brother pastors here in this area that are faithfully preaching your word right now. God, we ask, let the gospel go forth. Let people come to hear you. And Lord, in this room, would the proclamation of your word be faithful, Let it not be a show. Let it, God, be your spirit, your words coming from my mouth. And God, I pray that the preaching of your word would not return void, and that, Lord, today, people watching online, people in this room would say, today's the day that I follow Jesus. And Lord, that you would draw people to you as I lift you up in this place. God, we pray this and we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 22. I'm going to read through verse 40. And when the time came for their, and that's Mary and Joseph, by the way, for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him, that's the babe Jesus, to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed. And a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. And there was a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived with her husband 7 years from when she was a virgin, and then as a widow until she was 84. She did not depart from the temple, worshiping with fasting and prayer night and day. And coming up at that very hour, she began to give thanks to God and to speak of him to all who were waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. This is the word of the Lord. In 2017, the United Kingdom commissioned a study to study loneliness in their nation. They had noticed that there was greater and greater loneliness, and it was seeming to cause more of social strain in their nation. So they commissioned a study on it. They found that out of their country, which, by the way, is not nearly as large as the United States, some 9 million Britons openly said that they regularly feel lonely. In fact, as a result of that study in 2018, they commissioned a government official to try and oversee and help address this pandemic of sorts of loneliness that was running through their country. Now, he became known as the Minister of Loneliness. In the United States, actually, it's been determined that some 46% of Americans, year in and year out, identify themselves as being lonely. It's not just something that happens in the UK. It certainly happens here as well. And people struggle. They feel despair. And it's only been exacerbated in this COVID-19 season when people aren't able to be with one another as much as they would like. In fact, the thing that I probably know that I hear more than anything from so many folks that have been struggling during the pandemic season is that they miss being with people, and they particularly miss being hugged. Despair is real. We're made to be together. We're made not to be lonely. And this despair is sort of a creeping reality that continues to come in and to take over the hearts of many of us. I don't know that I can say definitively that Simeon and Anna in Luke chapter 2 were individuals who were in despair, but I do think that they were yearning for hope. And that's what the first Sunday of Advent is. It's the Sunday when we look for hope. And the hope that Simeon and Anna find is the hope that people in our world, the people who today need to no longer despair, discuss more and more openly. So So I want us to jump in here and to look at these people who had been waiting and to see how the hope of God comes for those who are waiting. Now, when we jump in and we look at Simeon and Anna, those who had been waiting, we get a glimpse of the life of Joseph and Mary here. We see that Joseph and Mary are headed to present Jesus based on the command that had been given in the law. There's basically two things that are happening here simultaneously. First, Jesus was the firstborn, and the law had said that the firstborn initially were supposed to serve in the temple, but because of the tribe of the Levites, they no longer had to do that. So in honor of the tribe of Levites, whenever you had a child who was your firstborn, you came and you brought a 5-shekel coin to help pay for that tribute for the Levites taking on that responsibility. Secondly, Mary was coming in for a purification sacrifice, having just given birth. Now, we determine that Joseph and Mary are not wealthy. Why? Because the provision was made in the law for them to sacrifice either a lamb, but if you couldn't afford it, you could bring 2 pigeons or 2 turtle doves. That's what they choose to bring, according to the text. So they don't have a lot of money. They show up there. It's sort of a special moment, but also a moment that wouldn't be that crazy. It would be like maybe a baptism happening in our church. Certainly something that's special for the family, but something that we see on a regular basis. They show up there at the temple, and then suddenly this man they've never seen before, they certainly don't know, walks over to Mary and takes the baby Jesus out of her arms. And begins to pray, to sing, almost a combination out to God, because this Simeon had been told through the Holy Spirit that he would see God's chosen one before his death. In fact, verse 25 says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel. The Greek word there is paraklesis. It's the same word that maybe you've heard describing the Holy Spirit, the paraclete, the comforter. Why are we looking for Israel to be consoled? Well, we don't exactly see it here in the text, but we know that Israel had been enslaved, that Israel had been occupied by the Roman government. So certainly they have been waiting for rescue, for something to come through. And it seems to be what Simeon was waiting on. And just as he's blessing this baby, he says this child is going to be appointed and used in a great way. At the same time, then Anna walks up. Now, the text doesn't tell us, was Anna guided over by the Holy Spirit, or did Anna simply see what Simeon was doing and decide to join him in that? We don't know, but we do know that Anna was married for 7 years whenever she was young, and since then had been a widow. And she was now 84 years old, and the scripture says that she sat in the temple courts day and night, worshiping and praying and fasting. Scholars say she's probably been there about 60 years, day in and day out, waiting to hear from God. Simeon starts to pray and to say, look, God's Messiah has come. The chosen one has come, and Anna comes over and begins to join in, and also calling this child the redemption of Israel. Something's happening here. Something is significant where this Jesus is the one that they notice, both Simeon and Anna. Why? At the end of this passage in verse 40, there's a verse. It says, and the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. Now, normally I would stop right here. This is the sort of passage that I think is contained on its own, but I want to keep going because I think you'll be able to see this. I want to keep going because I think that Luke is connecting this incident with another one. So let's pick up right after that and keep reading. Verse 41. 12 years later, now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of Passover. And whenever he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. And then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem, searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress. And he said to them, why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house? And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. And he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. The word of the Lord. This story, I think, is tied to the previous one, because whereas the first one talks about the waiting, I don't know exactly how to categorize Mary and Joseph here, but I've called them the worried. If God shows up for the waiting, he also shows up for the worried. And this is the reason that I think that these passages are tied together. Look at verse 40. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom. Verse 52, Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. Luke is trying to show us something. This Jesus is growing, but he's connecting them together. He says there was an unexpected thing that happens in the temple whenever he was being dedicated, and then another unexpected thing that happened whenever he was 12 years old. He's showing us the uniqueness of this Jesus, and he's concluding each of those stories in a similar way to show us how they are tied together. So if in the beginning we see Anna and Simeon as the ones who are waiting, now we see Mary and Joseph as the ones who are worried. Now, this story used to baffle me whenever I was a kid, when I was younger. I couldn't understand how did they allow him, Jesus, to get so far away. Now my kids are a little bit older. I kind of get it. Jesus is 12. You already know in Jewish culture, that's the age when you have your bar mitzvah. You move from boyhood into manhood. They had been there in the Passover, probably traveling with lots and lots of family, probably traveling with friends. I imagine that 12-year-old Jesus had been running around with his buddies having a great time for most of the week. Now they start the day's journey or the several-day journey back home, and somehow after about a day they look around and they realize Jesus isn't with them. They look around, they can't find him. They're talking to his friends and the other friends. They can't find him. They go back into Jerusalem and they find him in the temple. Now, at Passover, the greatest rabbis in all of the land would have come and descended on the city, and they would have stayed in the temple debating and talking the finer points of the law and discussing theology, and Jesus was there in the middle of them. That's where Mary finds him, talking and discussing, and the scripture says they're amazed at the way that he answered the questions, and they are amazed at his understanding. And it's there that then Mary does exactly what parents do. They scold, and Jesus says, but didn't you know that this would be where I would be? Luke says these two are connected. But how? How is it that they're connected? I think the answer is short, but pretty simple. Both of these stories are connected because Jesus is showing up in ways that we would not expect. Particularly if we were those who were reading or hearing these stories for the first time 2,000 years ago, these things would be surprising. A man they don't know takes the baby and blesses him. A woman, the Bible describes as a prophetess, begins to say that he is the redemption of Israel. A 12-year-old is astounding the rabbis with his knowledge of the law. These are things that are unexpected from any child. So for the waiting and for the worried, we have this interesting connection. Jesus came. So where is it that I'm headed with all of this? What is it that we want to talk about here today? In a word, the answer is hope. In the 80s, there was a man by the name of Philip Brickman, a psychologist who studied happiness. He was at Northwestern University, and he commissioned all of these different studies to try and figure out what it was that made people happy. The tragedy of Philip Brickman's life is that given his lifetime to study happiness, he ended up taking his own life. Or maybe you heard about the man this past week, the founder of Zappos.com, who had spent much of his life trying to discover and understand happiness. He came up with four things, he said, that made people happy: a perceived sense of control, a perceived sense of progress, a network of relationships, and being part of a cause that's larger than yourself. Tony died this week tragically. I'm sorry, the CEO of Zappos.com, Tony died in a house fire earlier this week. Both of these individuals attempting to study happiness, how it is that we no longer feel the despair that seems to be so common in the human condition. Let's be honest, a lot of us are waiting in despair, and a lot of us are worrying in despair, and we need hope. That's why Advent, I think, this year is probably more important than any year in recent memory. Advent is a word that means arrival. It means coming. It reminds us that Jesus came, that God showed up, that God came. And we remember that when we were a mess, just like Israel was, it's this time that God shows up. So every year we have 4 weeks of waiting, of remembering the darkness, remembering the 400 years of silence between the conclusion of the Old Testament and the beginning of the New Testament. And here in 2020, I don't know about you guys, but I feel like I have been waiting a lot. And right now, I don't really want to wait any longer. I'm just ready for God to be here. I know that sometimes whenever I was younger, I would go into a church service, and there would be times in that church service maybe where in the moment of singing, you would sense God's presence, or maybe in the preaching, you would feel the presence of God, or maybe in prayer, you would sense it. I'm not talking about something you see, but something you feel. It's almost like you sense the Spirit of God descending in that place, and we would leave, and people would say, God showed up. That's what Advent is. Advent is in the moment where we're waiting and waiting and waiting and waiting, and we feel despair, that God breaks through and He shows up. Advent is the season. It's a reminder that God still comes for us. No matter where we are, no matter how broken, no matter what we're up to, no matter how much despair we have, God still comes. Rich Viotis has said, the good news of Advent is not that we are faithful in our waiting. We often aren't. But that God is faithful and is coming. Have you ever showed up for someone that was supposed to meet you somewhere and they didn't come? I know I have. This is the idea that God comes, and even if we aren't there, He comes and He keeps looking for us until He finds us. Because there are people in this room who, like Simeon and Anna, have been waiting a long time on something. We've been waiting for a spouse. We've been waiting for a child. We've been waiting for a relative to come to faith, or we've been waiting for financial provision, or waiting on a job, or waiting on something. And you've been crying out to God saying, God, I just need this thing. And God doesn't always give us that thing, does He? I mean, I've been reading this book for a long time now, and I wish that I could point you to the verse where it says that no matter what you pray for, God's always going to give it to you. There's times when we pray and we have sincere hearts, and it just doesn't ever seem to come to pass. And if that's not the case for you, would you please pray for me after the service? I got a few things I'd like to share with you. Because we pray and we pray and we pray and we say, God, I just need you to come through in this area. And God doesn't always give us the thing that we want. But you know what He does give us always? Himself. He always shows up. It doesn't mean that He'll always hand us the thing that we have been waiting for or crying for or yearning for or hurting for. But He says, I will always be there, even if I don't give you the thing that you think that you want. What about the people who are here today who are worried, the people who are stressed out? I don't know what you stress out about. For me, most of the time, it's my family. The other times that I'm stressed out, it's probably because of church. You probably stress out about your job as well. But it could be anything. It could be things happening in our world or in the news. It could be your financial situation. It could be your friends. It could be anything. And if you think about it, most of the time, the stuff that we're worried about is stuff that we're waiting on. We're waiting on these things, they haven't come to pass yet, and they make us worry, and we begin to wonder, are they ever going to come pass? And that's why I think Simeon and Anna and Mary and Joseph are totally connected, because for the worried, for the waiting, we still need Jesus to show up. And what does God do in the middle of the worry, in the middle of the waiting? He just gives His Son again. But in both of these situations, if you notice, He doesn't come in the way that we expect. And one, He's a baby just being blessed by an old man and an old woman. And in the other, He's a kid amazing the rabbis. But Luke is connecting. And I think there's another connection. Did you notice verse 51 in the second half? We read this. His mother treasured up all these things in her heart. You ever heard that verse before? I'm sure you have. Every Christmas, whenever we're reading the Christmas story out of the beginning of Luke 2, verse 19. You read it, verse 19. Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. Verse 19 and verse 51. Luke's connecting again. What's he showing us this time? That Mary's trying to figure things out. Got this time where he's blessed and she doesn't understand it. This time where he's 12 and he's amazing the rabbis and she doesn't understand it. And she ponders them in her heart. What happened back in verse 19? Some shepherds had just shown up and started to worship her child, and she didn't get that either. Every time in Luke chapter 2 that we read that Mary was pondering these things and treasuring these things in her heart, you know what was happening? She's trying to figure out, who exactly is my kid? I mean, Mary knew because Gabriel had told her. And Mary knew because in the Magnificat in Luke chapter 1, she sung about the fact that she knew, and yet at the same time, she didn't fully comprehend. And I think that that is what Advent is about, is us trying to wrap our arms around and figure out who this God is that has revealed himself as Jesus. Help me understand who this Jesus is, this Jesus that doesn't always give me what I want, but yet shows up every single time I call. You see, Jesus was not what Mary expected, and I think that most of the time, Jesus isn't what we expect either. See, do you believe in the Jesus that's described in the pages of the New Testament, or do you believe in the Jesus that maybe you've heard stories about? Because they're not always the same. You ever wonder why despair is so prevalent for so many of us around this time of year? Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. Why is it? I don't know that I can definitively say it, but I do think that for many of us, it's because we have bought into a false idea of Jesus. We think of Jesus as Santa Claus. I pray, he gives. But the difference between Jesus and Santa Claus is that Jesus is not our divine butler sent to run our errands and bring us that which we desire. He's here to do something much greater. You see, because of that, Christmas isn't probably what we expect, and hope probably isn't what we expect either. Instead of waiting on the Red Ryder BB gun, or instead of waiting on the romantic ending of a Hallmark movie, God wants to give us something completely different. Happiness is not going to be found in control or progress, relationships, or a big cause. Happiness, the end of despair, true hope is going to be found because Jesus gives us himself. Not because we get stuff, not because we get things, but because God says, you're miserable, you're hurting, you need something. I'm going to give you the thing that you need above all things, and that is me. I'm going to give you me. The problem for most of us is that we hear that and we think, I'd rather have the stuff than the presence of God. Now, you might call that idolatry. You might call that bad theology. But the reason that you want the stuff more than you want the presence of God is because you have yet to truly understand how good of a gift the presence of God in the person of Jesus is. 3 years ago, my mother-in-law fell and hit her head, had a brain bleed, and died about a month after that. She wasn't able to pass a swallow test, and the doctors knew that she would not live much longer, and so Joy went and sat by her bedside for about a month. And people would come. They couldn't do anything. They might bring a casserole. They might bring a card, but they couldn't do anything. But they could sit there. And they did. And they would hold my wife's hand, and they would hold Gail's hand, and they would hold my father-in-law's hand, and they would just sit there. Have you ever been in a hospital wondering, waiting on a surgery, wondering if somebody was going to make it? and people show up and they just sit there with you. I mean, they can't do anything. They can pray. They can get you a cup of coffee, but they just sit. Why do we like that? Why do we need that? The answer is because you were created for presence. And we think that what we need is God to show up and give us stuff when he says, I am going to be with you so that no matter how difficult your circumstances might be, no matter how bad you hurt, no matter how alone you feel, no matter how bad the abuse has been, no matter how lonely you have been, I am with you and I will never leave you. He is with you. And I want you to understand that and think about that, because this God has done everything to be with you. We have been created for presence. This, by the way, is why church is such a gift. I'm so grateful that we're getting to meet right now. I know there's a lot of churches that are chosen not yet to meet. And by the way, thanks for following all the guidelines. I know you don't want to wear a mask. We want to hug each other. But let me tell you what. We haven't had a single outbreak traced back to this church in 3 months of being open. And that's because I think we've been following those protocols. Yeah, we can clap for that. I'm grateful for that. So let's keep doing that. But here's the thing. I love it because even though it's not normal, I need to be with you guys. I need it. That's why I'm going to make a huge push for Christmas Eve. I want everybody to come, whether you're inside or outside, because we need each other. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He talked about the church being a gift. The believer need not feel any shame when yearning for the physical presence of other Christians as if one were living too much in the flesh. We were created for presence. You see, the church is the presence of Christ among us when we gather. When you come to church, you're experiencing the presence of God. But we also experience hope, because God has given us hope through his very presence. Even if you spend Christmas Eve and Christmas Day by yourself, you can have hope because of everything that God has done for you so that you might have the presence of Jesus. God became human. He did this to show you his desire to redeem humanity, that humanity is the capstone of creation, and he would do anything to be with you. You have hope because you know that this Jesus experienced death on your behalf. You ought to have been destroyed by the weight of your sin, but this Jesus said, "Not on my watch," and took on your penalty, and his body was crushed. This Jesus experienced the condemnation so that you would never taste it and yet be set free. This Jesus conquered death. He went straight into the grave and faced whatever he faced for 3 days and then came out again so that you would never taste a final death. This Jesus gave you his spirit so that even now, far away, you can still have him present in your heart, in your life right now. You can walk day by day in power. He did this so that you would know that he is with you no matter what you go through. Your God came and became human. Your God conquered death. Your God experienced death. Your God gave you his spirit. He crossed time and space, conquered death and hell, and did this so that you could have the greatest gift of all, his presence. Now, this is the antithesis of despair, and this is the cradle of hope. This is where we get it. When we sing, O Come, Emmanuel, we are singing the yearning of the church. We don't need stuff. We need the presence of God. And if you want to say yes to hope this Christmas, you grab onto his presence. The presence of God in our lives means that while we sit through suffering and injustice and slander, we rest in this. There will be a day when Jesus will come, he'll set everything right. That's hope. We rest in the fact that while loved ones may have their bodies ravaged, we will be reunited at the resurrection. That's hope. We rest in our knowledge that this Jesus is doing redemptive things in and around us, reconciling all things to him. That's hope. We rest in this Jesus because we know that one day, He'll perfect everything. That's where hope comes from. And he gives us his presence. The same God that will one day set everything right sits on the throne of your heart today if you've said yes to him. The question, of course, is, have you said yes to him? If you have yet to say yes to him, you can do so now. You can text into us and you can say, I'm ready to follow this Jesus because I don't want despair to rule my life. I want instead the very presence of God who will give me everything that I want. I want to start off January 2021 with baptisms in this room from people saying yes to Jesus. If that's you, do so today. But if you've already said yes to Jesus, the thing you might need to hear today is the reminder that no matter how difficult your circumstances might be, you are not alone. He walks with you right now. I don't know about you, but for me in 2020, I need to hear that. That this Jesus is present, that he cuts through the darkness, and whenever we're waiting, he shows up.
Hey guys, thank you so much for listening to this week's sermon here at Houston Northwest Church. Our vision is to make Houston more like heaven by helping Houstonians like me and you become more like Jesus. Now, if you have any questions about following Jesus or you made a decision today to give your life to him, please let us know. Text KNOWJESUS to 281-946-6500. Connect with us throughout the week at hnw.org. And again, thanks for listening. Enjoy the rest of your day, and we cannot wait to see you again next time. Peace.